Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn. We're continuing our conversation with Kurt Vernon. We're talking about answering the question, is God really my provider? Yesterday, Kurt shared about how he just gave up everything, man, and just said, I'm going to let God provide for me, not ask for money, take any money, went on a trip all the way to Miami and back, and just some powerful stories of hope and how God provided. If you missed that, I want to encourage you to go to our website, hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today. Check out that 14-minute conversation we had yesterday. But, you know, so many times I think, Kurt, we talked about a little bit yesterday, people really doubt, can God provide? Because, I mean, come on, you know, guys, this Bible was written over 2,000 years ago. And, I mean, you know, man, God doesn't know what my mortgage payment is or my car payment, things like that. Yet when we met a couple weeks ago, you just shared some great stories about how God provided. Not only just provided, but he was really generous in a couple of situations. Mm-hmm. You share some of examples with us?
And that's one thing I've noticed about the reputation that God often gets is this almost like he's just holding out this blessing. But I remember one time I was reading in the Old Testament, there's this passage, I'd never thought about it this way, but it says that he blesses to 1,000 generations of those who love him and curses to the third or fourth generation of those who hate him. And so I read that and I was like, oh man, it's kind of weird. He curses, he blesses. You know, it's like, oh, this is Old Testament. Then suddenly I stopped and just did the math. I thought, wait. He blesses 1,000 generations to those who love and only curses to the third or fourth. So what that means is, based on the math in that verse, he is between 250 and 333 times more excited about blessing than he is about cursing. Yes. And I thought, that's my Father's heart. That's my Father's heart. And I love the fact that he has proved that, gosh, in 100,000 ways. Some that are so small that it would be just weird for me to share them on the radio, but then some that I can tell that these kind of stories that he's given me, that I know that as I tell them, they stir up faith in others. Remember one time, so, you know, I talked yesterday about the trip that I took, the first time that I kind of stepped out and said, I'm not taking any money. I'm not going to ask for any money. I'm going to trust God for my provision. Went on a road trip, and God did supernatural, incredible things. And then eventually, the Lord called me to do that for about 3 years. Felt like it was, for me, kind of in lieu of seminary, honestly, of kind of all my buddies were going off to seminary after they'd finished Bible college, and kind of was wondering, Lord, you want me to, you know, go this school route? And right. I felt like there was this simple invitation. Hey, why don't you just go reenact the life of Christ? I thought, okay, yeah, I guess that's what all Christians are supposed to be doing. But I felt like he wanted me to do it a little more literally. And I noticed the Son of Man had no place to lay his head. So I figured I'll do that. So I moved into my car, lived there for 3 years, eventually lived in a van. It was great. But along the way, I realized that all the Lord was doing and having me live homeless, that sounds real dramatic, but it was just the bait he had to use to get me to trust him. It was the bait that he had to use for me to get me to a place where I recognize that there's not the first promise in the Word of God that's an exaggeration. Mm. Not one. Remember one time I went to a Bible study in a friend's backyard. While I'm living in a van, he's telling me stories. His name's Dan Hamill, amazing man of God, who's a pastor at Southland for years, still eventually became one of my roommates and best friends. And as Dan was talking at this Bible study, it was the first time I'd ever met him. He shared about 1 Timothy 6, was talking about provision. He told everybody in this, it was like a backyard Bible study. It was a really fun environment. He said, somebody raised their hand and said, hey, how do you know if you're greedy? So that's a good question. So Dan said, well, I'll tell you what. Everybody, leave this Bible study and give away $300. He paused and he said, all right, if the first moment that you heard me say that, you went, because you didn't want to give $300 away, you're probably greedy. He said, now, if you were excited about it, that means you're probably not greedy, but go give away $300 just in case. And I thought, okay, that's simple enough. And so I left there and I remember telling the Lord, Lord, I want to give away $300. So I went and checked my bank account and I had $12 on earth. I said, Lord, I have a heart to give. Will you give me provision so that I can give? And so I began to pray for $300. And again, didn't tell anybody else I needed it, nothing. Next day, I get a call from a friend who tells me he had somebody, a guy that he knew, who was needing a hard day's work. He said, he's going to pay somebody $300 to work on the day. I said, no way. I didn't even tell my friend the answer to prayer. I said, that's awesome. I'll do it. Next day, I call my buddy. I call my friend. I said, hey, where's this guy want me to meet him? He said, oh, actually, it was taken care of. He didn't need it anymore. I said, Lord, that was my $300, you know. So the next weekend, it was about 2 or 3 days later, I was actually going to lead worship for a disciple now at a Baptist church in Hindman, Kentucky. So I'm leaving to head to Hindman, and I go out there and I take a few guys with me who are playing guitar and singing with me. Had just enough money. I think we might have to use some of their money to get gas on the way there. And we get all the way to Hindman, Kentucky. And we lead worship the whole weekend. At the end of the weekend, they paid me $300. But I took all the band guys with me. I said, Lord, I can't take this $300 and give it away. Some of this is theirs. I got to split it between them. So that can't count, Lord. But I knew. I said, Lord, this is weird. You gave me two almost answers to prayer. You must be up to something. You provide me $300 to give away. We get to the end of the weekend, lead worship of the church there at First Baptist on Sunday. Service is complete. I'm about to head out to my van and head back to Lexington. And one of the parents stops me and says, hey, we appreciate what you do with our kids so much. Wanted to give you a little thank you. Hands me a folded up sheet of paper. I wait. I put it in my pocket. I look at it. I make it real dramatic. I get in my van. I say, Lord, is this it? I open it up. It's a check for $300. I said, Lord, I can give this away. So I call my mom. My mom's been an amazing intercessor prayer warrior my whole life. And I'd call my mom on my cell phone. I said, Mom, I want to tell you about this cool answer to prayer. And she said, wait, before you do, I got to tell you something that happened. I said, yeah. She was down in Florida. That's where I was born and raised till I was 15 and moved here in high school. And she was back down in Florida visiting some old friends and said, I just played some of your music for your old Sunday school teacher, Debbie. I said, oh, that's great. She said she was in the middle of listening to a song and she stopped me and said, whoa, I just heard God say to me, you need to give Kurt $300. So she said, I've got a $300 check for you when you get home. I said, you got to be kidding me. I said, you're not going to believe it. I'm literally sitting in the van holding a $300 check in my hand. I told her the whole story. She was so encouraged. And I remember, and it was cool because then, you know, now anytime somebody gives me $300, I know, okay, that's not for me. That's to give, you know.
Just, but I love that because, you know, not only did the church, you know, provided you, but then God just said, hey, you know what? I'm a generous God. And he provided double that.
Yes. Double portion. And it was so sweet. And we talked about this yesterday with what does it look like to really begin to see God in the way that Scripture presents him? Because the way that Scripture leads us to understand who our Father is that he is more excited about giving than we are about receiving. And that shift in mentality will change everything. It won't just change the way I pray, it'll change what I pray. Because what I found is every time God answers a prayer, my next prayer is bigger than the last one. Mm. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than I would dare to ask or think. That's Ephesians 3:20. And I remember reading that promise so many times in my van and so many times as I was at a place where I needed provision. I'd be like, okay, God, like you're going to do immeasurably more. And I realized the key word in that passage for me is actually the word dare. He will do immeasurably more than I would dare to ask or think. Because the closer I get to him, the more I dare. Mm. And the closer I get to him and the more I watch him provide, the bigger my daring gets. And he's so excited about watching his children grow and about seeing our daring increase that he longs for opportunities to answer prayer. He longs for opportunities to provide. And it is his privilege to be a God of provision.
Amen. Well, he loves to bless his kids, and I shared with somebody the other day when I started Hope Is Here, God, I mean, it'll cost over $1,000 a month to do this. Where are you going to come up with that? And I went to get a donation for another ministry that I work with part-time, and the guy that was giving me the donation, I was going to leave, he said, hey, Greg, he said, oh, you got a second? I said, yeah. He said, I've been praying. I think that God wants me to bless another ministry. Do you know of any? Well, I shared the vision God had given me for Hope Is Here, and he said, man, I love that, you know, trying to help prevent suicide and provide people hope. And he said, you know what, how about I'll give you $600 a month. Will that help? You know, and I'm like tongue-tied. Often that happens, but I was. I'm like, wow, God's already provided, you know, a little over half of what it's going to take in one thing. So you're right. I think God does put that dare in, when he tells us stuff, but there's always that faith factor, isn't there? And trust. Yes. Talk a little bit about that, what you've learned about that through these several years. Talk about that.
And that, I think the one thing that's really beautiful about the way that most of my life I've heard of faith, when I think of faith, a lot of times I used to think of Indiana Jones. You know, right. I think of the moment that he's right there and And what is that when he was trying to get the trying to find the cup, you know, and he's there's this giant vast chasm and he thinks he's gonna have to jump across and you know, eventually he walks on. If you haven't seen the movie, then I apologize.
Spoiler alert.
You're 30 years too late. That's okay. But he, you know, and it turns out he can walk right across. And I think of it like a leap. I think of like this leap of faith. But when I read Scripture, Scripture tells me two very distinct and simple things about faith. Faith is the substance of a thing I hope for and the certainty of a thing I don't see. Mm-hmm. I thought of faith as like this high risk. But Scripture tells me that faith is certainty. Faith is a certainty. Faith is substance. It's the kind of thing that feels so sure that even when you can't see it, you are so confident in it that it's almost like you can touch it. Mm. Like that's faith. And I feel like that was the lesson that the Lord had to teach me in this, in the course of provision, of like, man, getting to a place where there was nothing in front of me, but growing me so much that when there was a lack, I got excited. Because I knew in my experience, 100% of the time, when I lacked a need, provision was on the other side. Now, if I lack a want, God might just change my definition and might tell me, hey, Kurt, that's something you wanted, not something you needed. But even, for instance, for me, I know the sweetest thing that the Lord's done for the last couple of years was play guitar, sing, I lead worship. Played this old 12-string guitar, 40 years old, kept it in my van, it got warped, neck was bent. It started going out of tune all the time. One day after leading worship, I'm whining to the Lord in prayer. God, I play this guitar for you. I need a good guitar. And suddenly, just hear that whisper in my ear that I can tell is him and not my voice. Just, Kurt, have I ever left you without something you need? I said, Lord, you're right, never. Goes back to a scripture I talked about yesterday, Psalm 34:10. Young lions suffer want and hunger. Those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Mm. And I thought, all right, Lord, you're right. I'm seeking you. That means if I'm lacking a good guitar while I'm seeking you, I must not need a good guitar. And if I need a good guitar while I'm seeking you, you'll provide a good guitar. So I put it to death, man. In my mind, it was I was like, Lord, I'll play an out of tune guitar for your glory. All you want is a joyful noise. 2 days later, I'm not lying, almost 48 hours to the moment, I get a text from an old friend. I hadn't talked to him forever. He'd gotten married. I'd done him and his wife's wedding, but just lost track for a couple months. And he just sends me this text. He says, Kurt, you're going to think this is so random. He said, but my wife and I just got a large inheritance. We prayed about what to do off the tithe of, and God told us that we need to buy you your dream guitar. Will you let us? And I go to Wilcutt's Guitar Shop, play every guitar in the store. He said, you're not allowed to look at price tags. So I pick up all these guitars. I finally play this one. It plays better than any guitar I'd ever played in my life. I said, this thing's incredible. The seller, the guy, the dealer there says, well, it should be. It's $12,000. I said, oh, let's put that away. My buddy said, no, I told you you're not allowed to look at price tags. So sure enough, we ended up, they talked him down. We were able to get a better deal than $12,000. But I ended up getting a guitar that was worth more than my van and car that I'd lived in combined, you know. And it was this reminder, man, young lions will suffer want and hunger, but I'm seeking the Lord, and I'm never going to lack a good thing. Because what faith is the understanding that lack is no longer an option in the life of a person that is a child of God.
Mm. Amen, amen. Good stuff from Kurt Vernon. You can hear more from him. He is a pastor at Commonwealth City Church. He co-teaches there with another pastor. He's a phenomenal worship leader. He's got a new CD out. People want to find out about that. Where do they go to find out about your music, Kurt?
You can look on Spotify or find me on Instagram or Facebook. Got artist pages there.
All right. That's Kurt with a C, Kurt Vernon. He's going to be with us again for another program as we continue to talk about provision and also about shame. So stay with us. Tomorrow's Kurt Vernon is our guest on Hope Is Here.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.